reach back and grab it, pick it up. May it be a reminder to you in this week. My wife asked me this week, you know, Larry, what reminds you of God's presence? What reminds you of God's presence? I said, well, the cross reminds me of God's presence. But it's nice to have something in hand. A little piece of boxwood. It's very common, an ornamental bush that grows here in Vancouver area. You trim it. It doesn't look very pretty. There's no flowers on it, usually. I don't think I've ever seen a boxwood with a flower on it. It's common. Just like us, we're common folk. Nothing really great or amazing, but we're amazing because God makes us amazing. God makes us amazing through His indwelling Holy Spirit that comes into us. And He came into Jerusalem long ago, did He not? And when He came into Jerusalem, people waved those palm branches and said, He is our King. But you know, just a short time later, they were denying Him, saying, we never knew this man. And they hung Him on a cross. And we remember that through the communion service today. But on that day, on that Palm Sunday, they shouted, they celebrated. Beginning of the Passion Week, beginning of Passover for the Jewish culture, they shouted and proclaimed that the Messiah had come, the King of Kings had come. But yet, they flip-flopped. How easily we flip-flop, don't we? We always need some gentle reminders in our life. A simple boxwood can do that for you. So don't just toss it in the garbage as you go home. Very easy to do. But hold on to it. Maybe put it on your mantle or on a significant place, or even just put it in your pocket and see how long it lasts over the week. And may it be a reminder to you of God's grace to you, that He has indeed come to you, that He loves you dearly as His child, that He died for your sins. So I took quite a bit of time this morning cutting these all up for everybody. If you didn't grab one, there are probably some extra ones at the back that you can grab as you go out the doors this morning. But may it be a reminder to us all of God's love to us, the common boxwood for us, reminding us of God's great love for us during this Easter season, during this Passion Week that we come to celebrate. Help us, God, not to be like those people of old that flip-flopped, but to keep you in focus throughout this week and throughout the year. I'm going to call forward those that are going to Montreal on the 27th of this month. Their names are Stephanie Ma, Jennifer Chen, Christina Adji, Enoch Wan, Jonathan Fuck, Solomon Yu, Justin Choi. Come up on stage, and we're going to pray for these ones as they'll be going to Montreal on the 27th and taking part in a Leadership Envision program. We're so grateful for the church being willing to pay these guys' way to this event, and they're going to be trained up and given some more training in way of leadership, and that's what mentorship is all about, and we'll be talking about mentorship and discipleship. So we're so pleased that these ones here standing before us today are going to go to Montreal with Pastor Joe, leaving on the 27th. You're wondering why the timing of this, it's a little early. Well, of course, next week is Easter. And so they're going to be leaving just before the last Sunday of the month, the 28th, so on the 27th. So we're wanting to commission them today and pray for them as they go. So let's bow our heads in prayer for them. Lord Jesus, thank You this day that we have young people that are desirous of proclaiming Your truth and living lives that honor and glorify You. Lord, we know we all fall short in so many ways, but we pray that Your Spirit would reside in these ones. Like Acts 6, they chose people that were full of the Holy Spirit to serve on the tables because there wasn't enough people to serve. They chose men, chose people that were committed to you and desired to serve. Lord, thank you for these ones that are committed to serve here today that are standing before us. We pray that you would bless them as they go out from our midst to Montreal. Give them a great vision of what your call is upon your church. And may they be imbued with your Spirit even more so than they are even now. We pray as they go to this Montreal conference that it would be a great joy that they are there amongst all Alliance young people that are desirous of serving you. Pray, Lord, that you would bless them as they go. And we commit them into your hand today. Lord, we're also mindful of this Palm Sunday that you came into Jerusalem. And so we're honored and glorified, as indeed you ought. You said even the rocks would cry out if you told them to be silent. But Lord, you didn't tell them to be silent. They waved those palm branches and proclaimed that indeed you were the King of Kings and that you were come unto your own. Lord, you have come unto your own today. We welcome you into our hearts, into our lives today, into this church. We pray that your name be glorified, not only here in this building, but around our world. Thank you for us as your church. We thank you that we not alone are your church, but there's many churches here in our community, in our city, in our country, in our world, that continue to proclaim that indeed you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We pray that gospel will continue to go forth as it's your mission to declare that through your disciples. Lord, we would be your disciples. We would be men and women that seek to honor you. Lord, we pray that you would empower us by your Holy Spirit, by the encouragement of brothers and sisters around us, by your holy word. Thank you, God, for your blessings on us this morning. Help us to have listening ears. Help us to have open hearts to your words, that our hands might serve you, and willingly so, in our community and in our world. We ask these things in Jesus' powerful name today. Amen. 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 Please be seated. Thank you, folks. So, continuing our subject of mentorship this morning, we're going to be looking at two other characters. We looked at Abraham and God last Sunday, and today we look at the subject of mentorship in regards to Moses and Joshua. Moses and Joshua. Well, again, the root of mentorship and the meaning of mentorship really means and entails walking together. Walking together. And we do that down through the course of the roads of our lives. And we do that, of course, with other people. Joshua walked with Moses. We know the account in the scriptures talking about how Joshua became a mentoree of Moses, and how after 40 years of wandering in that desert, they came to that promised land of Canaan that God was desiring them to enter in. And of course, Moses expired on the mount, and there was a new leader, and his name was Joshua. In those 40 years, and even before, Joshua is being built up by a mentor. That mentor was Moses. Joshua distinguished himself as a man of faith and of courage under the leadership of Moses. And I believe sometimes today we find it quite difficult to find a good mentor. Many leaders are busy facing their own challenges in the day. Even if they desire to help younger leaders grow, they often find their intentions thwarted by overcommitment. And they have great expectations, but there's no follow-through. A mentor isn't someone who will make all the choices for you. If you're wanting to find a mentor, It's not that you give all the choices to the mentor and then he decides for you what to do and what not to do. No, that's not the case. Nor do they become a professional counselor, that you go in and talk with them and somehow they counsel you and deal with all the struggles and griefs that you have. Nor is a mentor a buddy to be a friend to you. Rather, a mentor is someone who will challenge you. It's not for the purpose of familiarity or for the purpose of comforting you, but it's a purpose for challenging you, inspiring you to live a life beyond what you would aspire to just as an individual. They're willing to commit a regular time to you, maybe each week or biweekly. Joshua was strongly influenced by Moses, becoming a brilliant military leader and a spiritually submissive man. Being able to become a good leader first requires being able to become a good follower, however. Becoming a good leader requires you becoming a good follower. And I have that as my first point this morning. Joshua's followership skills. In Exodus 17, verse 9, we see Joshua for the first time being introduced in a significant way. Moses requires that Joshua fight against the Amalekites who were attacking Israel. This early battle would equip him with some of his skills that he would need to be able to enter into the promised land some 40-odd years later. He was to muster an army to fight against the Amalekites while Moses, with the staff of God in his hand, would stand on top of the nearby hill overlooking the plain where the battle was to take place. Two elements were to be in operation here. First was a sword of Joshua, of course, to fight the battle. But second of all was Moses' hands extended with the staff of God in his hand. Once again, divine sovereignty and human responsibility were linked together. In this passage in Exodus 17, and I'm going to read that a little bit for you this morning. In Exodus 17, it says there that the Amalekites, at verse 8, came and attacked the Israelites. So we know it wasn't something that the Israelites provoked, but it was something that the Amalekites began. In verse 10, it says, "So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up on the top of the hill. And as long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held up his hands up, one on one side and one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Write this on a scroll as something to be remembered, and make sure that Joshua hears it, because I will completely blot out the name of Amalek from under heaven.'" God's choice of Joshua came through Moses. Moses and God succeeded in bringing them to the point of winning the battle. It wasn't through the strength of Joshua or his great military ability that he was able to overcome the Amalekites. But it says there that Moses' hands were outstretched, the symbol of God's divine presence and involvement in the battle. When we face battles in our day, we might feel like, oh, we're all alone. We just have our sword, our skill, or our ability, our education, our family, or something else we're leaning on. And so we go into the battle. But if we forget that we need God's presence with us, we go in with about 90% less of the strength than what we need. We need spiritual strength, folks. When Moses' arms were outstretched and held up by Hur and Aaron. He grew tired, but he had a team with him, didn't he? He had Aaron and Hur to hold up his arms. And when his arms were up, the battle was being won. But then when his hands were sinking and growing tired, the Amalekites were overcoming the Israelites. So I think it shows us how important it is for us to be involved in prayer. How important it is for us to see our lives as not just involving ourselves, but involving God's presence. God going with us. And again, the boxwood to remind you this week of God's presence going with you. Well, next, Joshua sees humility in Moses. Joshua learns that humility involves giving away ownership and not being a respecter of one's person and one's position. We look to the book of Numbers for this, Numbers chapter 11. And in Numbers 11, we read at verse 24 about the story of Joshua and how he sees Moses giving away his leadership responsibilities and giving away even his position as the leader of the Israelite nation to 70 others. At verse 24, we read these words. So Moses went up and told the people what the Lord had said. He brought together 70 of the elders and had them stand around the tent. And then God came down in the cloud and spoke with him. And he took some of the power of the Spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. When the Spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but did not do so again. However, two men whose names were Eladad and Medad had remained in the camp, and they were listed among the elders, but did not go to the tent. Yet the Spirit also rested on them, and they prophesied in the camp. A young man came running up to Moses. Eladad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. Joshua, son of Nun, had been Moses' aide since a youth, spoke up and said, Moses, my Lord, stop them. But Moses replied, are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put a spirit on them. Then Moses and the elders of the Israel returned to the camp. And so here we see an occasion, a mentorship program in which Joshua was involved, and the Spirit of God was put upon the 70 elders. And that there's two elders that continued prophesying and doing things that seemed like they were outside of the main group of those 70 elders. And Joshua is thinking to himself, well, maybe these two leaders are going to supplant Moses. They're taking over something that Moses should be doing in way of prophesying and teaching the people. And so Joshua felt, I got to go and tell Moses. I got to run and tell Moses that he's got to stop these guys or something terrible is going to happen, right? And we see in Moses a response that is a response of great humility, a response that we all need. Joshua certainly needed, that we don't stand on ceremony. We don't stand on our position of leadership. We stand on the basis that God's name be proclaimed, and that we do it with great humility towards all people. Joshua learns a valuable lesson here today that we all need. I think as we get older, we even need it more, because maybe we get a little bit more wealthy, maybe we get a little bit more powerful, maybe we get our name a little bit better known, and maybe human nature to be a little bit more puffed up. But this isn't Moses' case. He was a man of humility that said, no, I'm not going to stand on ceremony. I'm not going to, you know, put my name out there as the key leader. But no, the 70, they can continue to proclaim God's truth, God's word. They are invoked by God to do the leadership responsibility among the nation. And so for us too, We need to, first of all, be spirit endowed, but also we need to have a great sense of humility. It marks very closely what happened in Jesus' day in Mark chapter 9, verse 38 through 41. In Mark, we have the testimony of how someone was casting out demons, and this kind of confused the young disciple John, and he came to Jesus and said, "Jesus, you know, there's something going on here that you have to stop. Somebody is casting out demons." I read it for you, verse 38. "Teacher said, 'John, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop because he was not one of us.' 'Do not stop him,' Jesus said, 'for no one does a miracle in my name can in the next moment say anything bad about me. For whoever is not against us is for us. Truly I tell you, anyone who gives a cup of water in my name because you belong to the Messiah will certainly not lose his reward." Philippians chapter 1, verse 15 and 18, we read, "It's true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely. Suppose that they stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or even true, Christ is preached, and because of this, I rejoice." We don't stand on ceremony. We don't stand on position. We don't stand on the fact that we are the Christian Missionary Alliance or Westwood Alliance Church. The fact is that God's name is proclaimed is most important. The young man in verse 27 was having a protectionistic kind of mentality for Moses' sake. It's likely the same person, verse 28, the young man in verse 27 is no doubt Joshua. Joshua learns that leadership is not a matter of somehow being bested in ministry, but being that we're all on the same team and that we should rejoice exceedingly that God's work is being done. Mentorship is curtailed when leaders feel threatened by others. There is far more ministry than one person can ever manage in any one church. Being protectionistic leads to unnecessary turf wars that denigrates the gospel. Thirdly and lastly, Joshua and Caleb see differently. This is the account where they're at the very precipice of going into the promised land, and Moses sends in the spies to take a look and see how good the land is and how they might capture the land. The spies go into the land, and they see that there's a land that is very good, that God wants them to have, that God wants to bless them with. Yet some of the spies see the land as very difficult to overtake. And they say, "We appear as grasshoppers to them. They're giants there. Fortified cities. How are we going to walk into this promised land?" Yet there's two men among the spies, Caleb and Joshua, that say, No. It was a glorious land, flowing with milk and honey. We have to go in and take it because God has promised us and He will go with us. He will be with us in the battle. And of course, there was dissenters and they started to grumble. And of course, the majority of the spies were against just the two of them, Caleb and Joshua. And so, as most people, the crowd swung with the majority and they started to be opposed to Moses, be opposed to Caleb and Joshua, and said, we can't take this land. There's too much at stake. There's many of us that will die, etc., etc. All the excuses were marched out. But yet Caleb and Joshua saw differently. They had scoped out the land, and they said, no, Folks, don't do this. Don't do this sin before God. God has promised us. How could these two guys have such a different opinion than the majority? How could they accomplish that? How were they courageous and not intimidated? Well, I believe that they saw Moses again and again standing up against the complaining nation. There's many times that the Israeli nation failed before God. There's some 10 failures of the people of Israel enumerated for us, and I got a list of them on the PowerPoint this morning. First, lacking trusting the crossing of the Red Sea at Exodus 14. Complaining over the bitter water, Marah. Complaining in the wilderness of sin, Exodus 16. Collecting too much manna in Exodus 16. Collecting manna on the Sabbath. Complaining of the lack of water. Idolatry with the golden calf. Complaining at Taberah. Complaining over no meat. And then failing to trust God to go into the promised land. And then ensues the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. Moses wasn't perfect in way of mentorship either, was he? I mean, he did strike the rock when God commanded him to speak to it. God said, Moses, because of this sin before me and not obeying me, you won't go into the promised land. And so Moses expired on the mount before Israel walked through the Jordan River and into the promised land. Mentorship isn't meant that we are perfect or have our ducks all in a row all the time, but it is to recognize that we do have failures as well. So don't say, oh, I can't teach anybody anything because I don't do everything right. I'm not a perfect person. Mentorship involves us seeing the next generation coming up, the next leaders that need to be prayed for, those that need to be supported and encouraged, and coming alongside of them and saying, I'm going to do all that I can to support you, to bless you, to make you to be the person that you need to be as a leader in the church, in this community, and in the world. Joshua had someone like that in Moses. Maybe there is someone here today that can be your mentor. Mentors are hard to find, but they are ones that you look up to, ones that you say, wow, I'd like to have what that person has. All it takes is a simple question. Would you possibly, potentially be a mentor for me? Would you possibly go out for coffee with me and talk? I'm sure many of our elders, many of our deacons on our deacons board would love to do that with you. I want to encourage you, if you're a young person here today, that you consider that. I also want to challenge you, if you're an older person, that you don't see yourself as just going to work to retirement and even past in retirement and just make yourself as comfortable as possible. God has given us all responsibility to raise up one another, to encourage one another in the Christian faith. May God give us strength to do that. Amen. Today we come to the communion table, and I welcome our servers up to serve us communion today. Today we want to welcome you, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, to participate in the elements. There's bread, there is juice that we take today. Come, ushers, come forward. We want to serve you in way of what Christ did on that fateful night at the Lord's Supper, to remind those that took of the cup and the bread that this is my body, this is my blood, taken for you, given for you. So this morning, as we reflect on God's blessing upon us, we ask you to hold on to the elements till all have received, and then we'll be partaking together. All right? So let's stand together, and let's address our Heavenly Father in prayer, shall we? Lord Jesus, we come before you today. We thank you for your great sacrifice for us, that you went to the cross. And we've been marking that as we've been following through these 40 days of Lent. And now we come to this time where we celebrate the Passion Week, your coming into Jerusalem, and then all the things that ensued that are written in the Gospels, spending so much time in the Gospels to tell us incident by incident of what transpired during that Passion Week, of how you went to the upper room with your disciples, and how you put a towel around your waist and washed the disciples' feet to serve them, and said, you disciples are to do the same. I as a teacher are the one that should be served, but I as a teacher serve you. In such a way, Jesus showed his humility to us. Lord Jesus, we pray that you would help us to be, of all people, so humble when we come to each other, that we would be willing to serve each other in such menial tasks as well as the great tasks of life. We pray, Lord, today that you would take our humble service and use it for your kingdom's sake. As we take of these elements today, may it be a reminder to our souls of all that we should be involved with in serving you and serving our world. Thank you for this reminder today of Moses and Joshua and their mentorship. Lord, we pray that, Lord, you would continue to help us to be mentors and mentorees, that you would help us to be your disciples in this world. Thank you for this communion today to remind us that your broken body, your shed blood, is what saves us, is what redeems us from an empty way of life, living just for this world. Lord, there is a world to come. You promise us that. That our lives are not lived unto ourselves, but unto you and unto our community and unto our world. We commit ourselves to the task and the mission that you have assigned us today by taking these elements. Pray your blessing on us as we receive these to remind us of your washing, your cleansing, your redeeming of your word and your spirit upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Let's stand together. Jesus on that night broke the bread and said, "This is my body. Take you all of it." Let's eat together. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your broken body given for us. Amen. Please be seated. Jesus on that night took the cup and said, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Take you all of it." Let's stand together and partake together in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your shed blood for us. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. We're going to collect up the cups, so if you can just pass them to the inside aisles, we'll get those from you. As that's happening, let's stand together and receive the benediction. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. A few brief announcements. Just want to remind you that this weekend is going to be a special weekend. Of course, Good Friday is happening. So we will have a service at 10:30. Don't come at 10:15, come at 10:30. We're giving our Mandarin congregation a little bit longer to have their service. So arrive here a little bit earlier than 10:30, and we'll be starting the service at 10:30 on Good Friday. So please come and join us. And then on Easter Sunday, we'll have a special service as well over at the Inspiration Garden, just across the street. So our tradition is that we meet there at 7:30 in the morning. It's not right at daybreak. We found it's getting quite cold still in the early mornings, and usually it's raining and very dark. Some Easter mornings it's been surprising, but we do meet over at the Inspiration Gardens. We welcome kids and family members to come and join us for that event. Afterwards, we usually make a trip down to IHOP for breakfast. So if you're still interested and didn't get up at 7:30 and you want to join us at IHOP, you're welcome to do that. Usually we get there about 8:30 for breakfast. And then we come for, of course, the 10:15 Easter Sunday service. So quite an eventful time for us. On Good Friday, of course, we'll be changing the color of the cross from purple to black to remind us of the sorrow that we have in Christ giving his life. Very dark, very somber occasion, but at the same time, very much a celebration for us in that death procured for us our salvation. And then the celebration of Easter Sunday of the resurrection, Easter morning, 7:30. Be there for that. Also, you'll see in our announcements that we have a few other things that are happening during the week. We ask you to continue to attend your small groups. If you're not involved in a small group, you want to see Rick or Lisi about that. And we want to thank you again for coming and joining with us today, making Westwood your church home. Thank you, and may God go with you throughout this week. Thanks for joining us today.
You're never gonna let me down. And you're never gonna let